I've got a beautiful assortment of cameras here on my desk. All of them are available at cat5.tv/actioncam. I'm going to tell you really briefly what each one is. We're not going to get too heavy on specifications at this moment because we're going to be covering them over the next couple of weeks. Okay, first of all, you already met the DJI Osmo on episode number 480 of Category 5 Technology TV. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Oh, this is a sweet little number for run and gun.
So cool.
It's got the built-in three-axis gimbal, so you don't have to worry about your footsteps and stuff like that or holding your hand straight. It automatically adjusts itself. It's fantastic. It shoots great 4K video. I should say all of the cameras that we're looking at tonight are 4K cameras. We're not going to bother with the 1080p. Come on now. Come on now.
So last year.
Yeah, it's so 1997. Something like that. Okay, next up, we've got the SJCAM SJ5000X.
Ah, I have the 4000 at home.
Oh, yeah? So you've got the 1080p model.
Yes, I do.
This is the 4K version.
All right.
Now, we're going to get into it a little bit tonight. It's not true 4K. But I wanted to show you, because I know that you're shopping online and you're saying, well, what's the difference between the Key Mission 170 and the SJCAM other than the significant difference in price? Or maybe you're looking at the Garmin Verb Ultra 30, right? They're very similar as far as their design and what they can do, as far as the specifications go. But we want to compare tonight so that you can see the actual difference. We're going to do that in live mode. So that's the SJCAM for 5000X. Then, as I said, the Garmin Verb Ultra 30. This is a cool little action cam. Again, 4K. Then we have the Tough TG Tracker. This is from Olympus. It's a stylus camera. That's
my favorite. I want to take that one to Jamaica.
I love the form factor of this one. I love that it is very much like a the old style handy cam, but so tiny. It's got a really super wide angle lens. It has it's got a lot of great features. One of the things that I do like about this, you talk about bringing it to Jamaica, it's waterproof without a case. So just like this, you can take it. No, it is scuba diveable.
Yeah.
You can take this down, way down, and go swimming with it without a case. It also has a built-in light so that if you're underwater, you don't have to worry about supplementing it with light.
Wow.
It's got some really, really great features to it that I'm excited to unveil over the next couple of weeks. And it's also shatter resistant. It is crush proof. You can drop it from 7 feet and it won't break. So this is a really neat, tough, rugged camera. Then we've got the Sony FDR-X3000. This one is a little bit different as far as the styling goes. You can see, you know, the traditional kind of GoPro style action cam versus this is Sony's approach with no screen, which is kind of an interesting
no
take
screen
on
at
it.
All.
Well, it has a little LED screen or LCD screen, which, you know, it's like,
oh yeah, like, but that doesn't show you what you're filming.
No, you don't see what you're filming. It has Wi-Fi. All of the cameras are going to have Wi-Fi these days and Bluetooth and that kind of stuff. So, or at least all of them are going to have Wi-Fi. Some of them are going to have Bluetooth and other technologies for wireless communication. They have apps, and you can stream this to your phone, and you can see the live view that way. But as far as built into the camera, it's not like the Tough TG Tracker where you've got a built-in screen that pops out like that, which is pretty decent. And then these guys have a screen built into the back, where the Garmin Ultra Verb 30, the Garmin Verb Ultra 30, if I can get it right, is touchscreen.
Oh, okay.
And it's touchscreen. I was surprised to find that it's touchscreen through the waterproof case.
Oh.
So that's an interesting little tidbit for you. Then we've got the Nikon approach to action cams. This is the Key Mission 170. So this is the, I guess, is it 170 degrees? Is that what the 170 refers to? So this is not their 360 model. They've also brought out the Key Mission 360, which is a full 360 view. But this is, we're just looking at standard view cameras during this feature. So this is their 4K approach to an action cam. Feels really sturdy, eh? Like, feel the weight of that.
Oh, wow.
It's pretty significant when you compare that to, say, the SJ cam or even the Sony.
Yeah.
The Sony camera is quite lightweight as well.
Absolutely.
The Nikon Key Mission 170 is pretty heavy.
This feels almost like it's there's more metal to it than there is plastic.
You know what? Yeah, it might be, eh? It certainly is. It feels really rugged. It's also waterproof without a case. which is nice. These guys, like these guys, you're going to have to put a case on them if you want to put them under the water. Same with this. This one, all of them come with a waterproof case, so that's a bonus. And, of course, do not submerge. All right? Never, ever, ever.
What? I feel like that should be self-explanatory just looking at it.
It is self-explanatory. So tonight what we're going to do is a little bit interesting. So we're just going to jump right into it because in the video I explain what is going on, but we're going to check out how each of these cameras perform, and not all of them do, but we're going to see how each camera performs in a live broadcast scenario. Mm-hmm. So can it be used in your home studio or in a studio like Studio D here at Category 5 Technology TV? Let's find out. We're going to check it out with our live mode viability test as we compare these six cameras, all 4K, right here on Category 5 Technology TV. It's time for the live mode viability test of these cameras, and what we're going to do is set aside any of the in-app features. It's cool to be able to stream to things like YouTube and Ustream live from the app, but that requires connecting wirelessly to the camera, then streaming through your LTE or Wi-Fi network from your phone or your tablet or whatever. There's a time and place for that. I could see if you're downhill skiing, for example, and you want to live stream it to mom and dad so that they can go, watch out for the tree, then, you know, that's cool. That's really, really cool. But not what we're doing here today. What we're doing is a little more fandangled. We are going live output from the HDMI port of these cameras into a Magewell 4K capture card through HDMI. So that card from Magewell can capture up to 4K resolution. So we can get the full 4K off the camera through HDMI, and then it goes into software. The software that we're using is called Telestream Wirecast, and what that allows us to do is live stream to any platform. I mean, if it's YouTube, Ustream, your own personal RTMP server, whatever, it will take it. And then it also allows you to record to disk. You can record at full 4K if you want, but what I'm interested in is recording at, say, 1080p or 720p. And broadcasting at that resolution, because what we can then do with a nice quality 4K camera, we can zoom in on that 4K canvas to 1080p or 720p, and then move around within the canvas, creating virtual camera shots. So we can actually make it look like we have multiple cameras, or similarly, a camera person operating a stationary camera, but we can make it look like it's moving back and forth and pointing at the right people in the right areas of the screen. Because we've got 4K to work with, we can zoom in on that. That's something that I'm very interested in, and so we're going to actually zoom in on these cameras and see how the quality degrades when we get up to higher virtual zoom levels. So our criteria today, of course, is can we get live, clean HDMI off of these cameras. So what clean HDMI is that means there are no icons surrounding it. There's no little record blinker. There's no numbers at the bottom with the date and all that. It is just a clean video source. That's important to us because we're going to be doing broadcasting, say. Okay, so then from there, what's the quality of that HDMI output like? What does it look like when we zoom in on it? Does it still look okay? Is it still usable? Then we're going to, you know, along the same vein, you know, what kind of fisheye effect are we getting? Because action cams are notorious for that. Those things are all important to us as well when we're live streaming, because we're not going to be post-producing fisheye out of the video. And then, finally, our final criteria on this particular test is, can it be powered from an external power source? When we're live streaming, we don't want the battery to die and have our camera automatically turn off. No, sir. We want to be able to power it from an external USB or whatever it may be. So those are our three criteria. Let's get right into it. I'm just going to show you the cameras. I'm just going to show you how they look and how they operate in live mode. And then it's up to you to make the decision. If live streaming over HDMI is something you're entirely uninterested in, well, you may think that the live mode viability test is something you should skip over, but I want to bring two points to your attention. First of all, we're going to be looking at whether or not this can be powered by an external power source. And that applies to you if you're going to ever put your camera on a tripod, say, push record and walk away. You don't want it to turn off halfway through. So stick around. We're going to be showing you that. Also, we're going to be zooming in on the 4K canvas so that you can see the actual quality when we get into 200, 400%. And that's important if you ever think you're going to be editing your video in such a way that you want to crop in and get a tighter shot after you've already shot the video. So you want to see the quality in the end result. So you do want to stick around. We're going to start things off with the SJ Cam SJ5000X. And the reason that we wanted to include this particular action cam isn't so much to show it off. As you can see, the video quality is rather poor. But rather, it answers the question, why is this one at such a lower price point? And is it worth spending the extra money to go with something a little more expensive? The SJ5000X comes with the GoPro-compatible waterproof housing, which, of course, when it's on, you're going to be able to mount that to a tripod, but then you're not going to have the ability to plug in HDMI and USB. That said, one of the bonuses here is that the SJCAM SJ5000X, as well as the 4000, do include a handy little thing here that allows you to put it on a tripod in two different directions. So this just simply clips on, and there you have it. So now you've got an SJCAM that is ready to be mounted with a quarter-inch threading on a tripod. So that's a bit of a bonus. As far as live HDMI output goes, as you can see, I've got a little icon up here, and I've got a couple of icons over here. I don't know how to point to them on the screen, but you can see them there on the left-hand side. And those icons are showing even though I have selected to turn off the on-screen display. As you can see, those are still there. There's a little bit of a ghosting effect going on if I move really, really quickly, and we're going to see that as we get in on higher zoom levels. First of all, even though it's advertised as a 4K action cam, the SJCAM SJ5000X is in fact a 2K action cam. The sensor can only pick up 2K, and that then is it allows 4K output, 4K file recording using what's called interpolation. So essentially, it blows up the image and tries to fill in the gaps. And we've just lost the input signal. It looks like it goes to sleep as well. So I fired it back up, but as you can see, that's not going to work very well for us in a live mode environment. Let's get a look at it really quickly before it shuts off on us again. First of all, check out this box. See if you can read, some information over here on the side. Here's some text for you. Let's get in there at 150% zoom level, and you can really see even at that level that there's some pixelation in the video. Watch what happens when I move the box. It almost looks like it's interlaced. Do you see that? It's like a striping on the box. Let's get into 200%. And the video quality, as you can see, is practically unusable. 250%. There we are at 250. You can really start to see that kind of effect that we're seeing there. And check out the text. Check out my face when I move. So you can see that the SJCAM SJ5000X, while at a lower price point, is definitely, I think we're going to find tonight, is of a much significantly lower quality than some of the higher-end cameras. You can see that this text is almost unreadable. You can make it out, but it is blurry as anything at 400%. 450%, we're really seeing some shimmering. Ooh, look at what my hands look like. That's interesting. And finally, at 500%, which we would expect to be unusable, we really can see that effect. So that's the SJCAM SJ5000X. I was hoping that it would do better in a live mode viability test, but unfortunately doesn't perform very well. And I've lost signal again. Let's move along. Now you see me on the Garmin Verb Ultra 30 action cam. A couple of notable features when it comes to live streaming. First of all, the Apple version of their app will allow you to stream live to YouTube from the camera over Wi-Fi. We're not focusing on that. What we are focused on is HDMI 4K output. So this camera is also capable, as you see, of full 4K output over HDMI. So we have an HDMI cable going from the Garmin Verb Ultra 30 into a Magewell 4K capture card and into Telestream Wirecast. It's got great looking clean HDMI. A couple other notable features here in this particular environment is that we have power coming in over USB micro, so we're not having to utilize the internal battery or worry about the battery dying during a live shoot. Also, the internal screen on the Garmin Verb Ultra 30 is still operational even with HDMI output enabled. So if there's an operator on the camera, they are able to actually see the little mini screen built into the Garmin Verb Ultra 30 as well. Now, the one caveat with that is that it does tend to turn off. I'm not sure what the timer is, but it seems every 60 seconds or so, the screen will simply go black. You can touch the screen, you can push one of the buttons, and it will come back to life. But my fear with that is that as a camera operator is touching the camera, it's going to jostle it a little bit. Speaking of jostling it, there is no stable way to mount the Garmin Verb Ultra 30 on a tripod, at least out of the box anyways. And I don't know of any accessory, but I'll tell you what I have found. The Garmin Verb Ultra 30 comes with a waterproof case. This is GoPro mountable, and you know the accessories are GoPro compatible, and you can buy a quarter inch threaded accessory for this, and it'd be cheap. It'd be a couple bucks. No problem there, so you'd be able to mount this particular case on a tripod. That said, as soon as you do that, you lose the capability to plug in HDMI output and USB power, because we've got a solid shell. So I think you would have to Dremel this and basically modify the case in order to create a tripod mounting accessory for the Garmin Verb Ultra 30. The camera itself does not have a threading for a tripod mount, and nothing was included in the box to allow me to mount it to anything other than GoPro accessories. So as you can see, my camera angle is a little bit tilted here. That's because I've only got it balanced very carefully on my tripod because there's no way to screw it in. So considering the fact that they have a focus on live streaming with their YouTube-enabled Apple app, and also, obviously, they have put some great work into the HDMI output and the ability to power the device over USB, I mean, the camera looks fantastic, I have to say. I mean, I know that's my own opinion, but what do you think? And so I'm a little disappointed that Garmin didn't put a little attention to detail into the fact that, hey, we've got these great features for live streaming or HDMI use, so why are we not including some way to mount this camera out of the box on a tripod? That's my one disappointment. Let's take a look at the camera quality. 150% zoom, there we are. This is digital zoom, so you can see that that is just kind of zoomed in on the canvas, and it looks great. Moving in a little bit closer, 200%, there we are. Please pay attention to the text on the side of my CX33 box here, as that's a little bit of a comparison for you between the different cameras. Let's get in there to 250%, and as you can see, I'm still looking pretty clean. There's a little bit of a fuzziness to the picture, but otherwise, still pretty good considering the level of zoom that we have here. Keep in mind, the actual frame is way back here, and I also noticed that there's not a lot of fisheye going on. You can see a little bit over here. You can see the roof here and the drop ceiling. You can see a little bit of a curvature there, but it's not terrible. Let's get in there to 300% and then into 350. There we're really starting to see some fuzziness. It's not like a pixelation. It's a little bit of a fuzz to it. So that's it's pretty clear for how close we are. 350% zoom. And look at this text. Okay, let's get into 400%. And we're still looking fairly usable. Unreal. Okay, 450%, we're really starting to get away from quality video here, and 500% is ridiculous. Look at the camera here, or my microphone, pardon me. You'll see that there is a little bit of an odd anomaly there, and it's very, very subtle. So I think all in all, my impression with the Garmin Verb Ultra 30 is that the video coming off of the camera over HDMI is really nice quality, and you can do a lot with that. So that's pretty superb. We just have to look at how can we possibly mount this to a tripod, and maybe modding our case is the answer. Let's move along. We're going to take a look at the Sony FDR-X3000 next. This action cam has clean HDMI output, as you can see. As well as that, I am powering it over USB micro, so we're not draining the battery while we shoot stationary video. Another thing that's important to me is being able to mount it on a tripod. Well, how many hoops do we have to go through with the FDR-X3000? Absolutely zero. Here's the waterproof case. The waterproof case, in fact, has a quarter inch tripod threading on the base of the case. So no matter what, in the case, you can screw that onto a tripod and use it, whatever you want to use. But that said, outside of the case, you'll notice the case is here, camera's there. The camera itself has a quarter inch tripod mounting threading on the base of the camera. So you don't need a case, you don't need any kind of adapters or anything. It mounts directly onto a tripod. That's fantastic. Okay, looking at the video quality, we do have a little bit of a curvature, not too bad. You can see this monitor, which has a straight edge, it has a little bit of a break in it. It's not quite a perfect curve like a fisheye effect. It has a bit of a kind of it's almost triangular a little bit there. Looking at the ceiling tiles, you can see that curvature. It's not too pronounced, and the image is not horribly distorted. The one thing that I do see here that these lights are doing to my bald forehead is that I'm seeing a lot of glare. I don't know if I can blame that on the camera so much as what I got up here or don't have up here. So there, you know, that's something to observe anyways. Zooming in, 150%. Camera looks good. We can read the text here on the side of the box. That is digital zoom at 150%. Let's get in there to 200%. We've got a little bit more graininess than the Garmin camera. Let's get in there to 250%. Definitely we can see that. 300%. There we are. 350%. Ooh, now we're getting into ridiculous. But I can already see my microphone has kind of got a little bit of a strange anomaly to it. Let's get in there to 400%. See that? It's almost, it's not interlaced, but it's almost blocky. Like there are little pixels that we're seeing there. Definitely see them there at 450%. And at 500, there you go. I feel like the back wall has a clearer focus than I do. Do you see that? So the brick almost seems to have a slightly clearer focus. I'm not sure if that's because of my position. But I'm about 6 feet from the camera, so it's not like I'm right up close to it or anything like that. You can see that I do have quite a bit of distance, but that's the impression that I get anyways when I'm right in there. The back wall looks a lot more clear than I do. Let's get a look at this box. Maybe that will give us a better impression. Text looks pretty good. Remember, I'm looking at this at 500%, okay? So that's digital zoom, not to show you that I can digitally zoom in on the 4K canvas, but to show you a kind of a close-up of, you know, what does the picture actually look like if you get really, really tight into it. And it really starts to expose some of the differences in lenses and the actual camera itself. But there you go. There it is at 350%. What do you think? We can compare that to the other cameras as well and see. I do love the form factor of this camera. I love the way that it operates. I love that it has true 4K output on the camera just like that over HDMI, and it does have a fairly good picture, especially when we're zoomed out like this. When I get into 150%, still looks pretty good, eh? There it is. Your impression? That's up to you. Let's see what you think. Okay, let's look at some of the cameras that fail our live mode viability test. This is all the output that we can get from the Nikon Key Mission 170. Unfortunately, it does not have clean HDMI output. Similarly, I'm a little disappointed to find that the Olympus Stylus Tough TG Tracker also does not feature live clean HDMI output. It looks like this. And finally, it's the DJI Osmo 4K. While this is a great little camera, we notice that, the key reason that it fails the live mode viability test is we have no HDMI output. We've got a USB port in the back of the camera itself, but no video out. So we did find that we've got a tripod threading here that we can mount it on a tripod. However, because we have no live mode output over HDMI, it fails that particular test while excelling at pretty much everything else. It's a great little run and gun camera, but it is meant to be used to record to the micro SD card that you place in it. So unfortunately, the DJI Osmo, while a cool camera, is going to fail our live mode viability test. All right, let's recap. Here's the SJ Cam SJ5000X at 100%, zoomed right out to the full frame, and it isn't looking too great. Let's get in there to 300%. This really shows the lower quality of this camera, the SJ5000X from SJ Cam. Now let's look at the Garmin Verb Ultra 30, and this is it at its full frame, 100%. And let's get into 300% so that we can really see the quality of this camera in comparison. And now let's move on to the Sony FDR-X3000. This is what it looks like at 100%. And now let's zoom into 300%. And finally, here's the side-by-side shot. None of these are scaled. These are just cropped. So this is exactly how it looked during the feature. And as you can see, the SJCAM SJ5000X is quite a bit tighter than the other two cameras. That means that the lens is not nearly as wide. And looking at the other two cameras, you can see that glare is a lot more pronounced on the Sony FDR-X3000. And if I had to vote myself, I would say the Garmin Verb Ultra 30 has the best picture coming off of our live mode viability test. Okay, so that raised a few points that we wanted to bring up during the live broadcast here. And if you have any questions in the chat room, let us know. Sasha, you had a question for me first and foremost.
Okay, so my question is, why would you need a tripod stand in an underwater case?
Okay.
Like, why would you
Sure. Yeah, what's the purpose in having the ability to put a tripod on it?
Yeah, I can't dive that deep.
Yeah, right. 1,000 feet below, we've got a tripod, and it's floating on its side. So a couple points there. First of all, the waterproof case is also a way of making the camera more rugged. So it's going to be able to handle the elements a lot better. So if you want to mount it on your helmet, for example, and you're motorcycling or going down a hill on skis, you probably want to have that waterproof case on it, one, because snow will damage it if it gets wet, but also because it's going to be a lot more rugged if you fall, which you're going to fall because you're not paying attention because you're too busy pushing buttons on your camera. Come on, people. But if you are underwater, what's that look?
That went crazy. All of a sudden we're motorbiking in the snow.
Oh, well,
pushing buttons.
I'm just assuming that we're really action-packed here because we've got our new Sony Action Cam. That's the one we're referring to. The other reason, as we're going to be underwater, is this little guy, selfie stick. If you're scuba diving, how cool is it that you can set that thing way out there, all right, and film yourself in the coral reef?
Right.
Right? Or whatever it is that you're doing. Or
just get closer to the things that you don't want to actually physically get close to.
Here comes the shark. There goes your camera. It's not that rugged. Yeah. So those are two points that I would raise.
If you're swimming through a coral reef, would you not be focused on the coral reef and the beauty of that rather than your self-centric self?
You will. No, absolutely. You will. But you want to shoot that 3 minutes of video and then enjoy it for 30 minutes.
Right.
Like go turn it off and go do your thing. But just to capture those moments. It's like when we do things with the kids. I'll bring out the camera, I'll take some short video, and then I go back to interacting and, you know, put away the phone,
right,
folks, put it away. So yeah, you'll spend more time. That's the theory anyway. That's
fair
my
enough
theory. That's how I would shoot.
See, yeah, we have I mentioned earlier, we have the SJCAM 4000.
Okay.
And we took that
that's
with
the 1080p
us
model. This is the 4K.
Yeah, we took that with us when we went on our family vacation, mm-hmm, in April, and I did the news from the Caribbean.
Yes.
You've never done that one, Sasha. Just saying.
She's going to Jamaica.
We took ours underwater, and we just had the little yellow floaty thing so that,
yes,
if you ever lose it, it,
yep,
floats up to the top.
That's handy.
But, you know, you do get some really good video when you're going under the water. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, as much as I make fun of the idea of a selfie stick when you're under the water, I mean, I could see the value to it. Because, I mean, to think of it, there was a few times where I was underwater with my kids. I'm like, hey, guys! So I could totally see it.
Yeah.
Right, but then also, I mean, it gets you closer to things that you couldn't get close to otherwise. Like, I saw, I wouldn't say it was an octopus. Well, it could have been an octopus. It was like a big squid, maybe. I don't know which is bigger. It was, anyway, it was there. It was in the water. I couldn't get anywhere near it because it was probably like 7 feet below me, and I can't dive underwater very, mm-hmm, well at all. But if I had that selfie stick, I could get like a real zoomed in look.
See, I chased after a barracuda.
Sure. Yeah, but luckily the barracuda did not chase after you.
It did not turn on me. No.
Good to hear. Yeah. I've got this selfie stick, and the reason that I had this handy, as a matter of fact, is because I was looking for ways, how can we get this Garmin Verb Ultra 30 to mount on a tripod? Because it would be, you know, it shot some really nice live mode video. It's surprising that they didn't do something like the other cameras, which have a quarter inch threading on the bottom, like the Sony, or here's the Olympus, right? As you saw, and even the Nikon has a threading. And as we saw, there's a special adapter for the SJ cam that comes with it that mm-hmm. allows you to do that. So this is the only one that failed that particular aspect of the test. And so I brought out a selfie stick thinking, I wonder if a selfie stick cell phone adapter would help. Right? Because this is made for a cell phone, and it's not going to fit this way, but it is actually possible to put the Garmin Verb Ultra in. Let's see here. If I'm just careful with it, I can get it in kind of like that. Okay? So it's upright, and the HDMI and USB are still exposed.
Okay.
So then it can go on a tripod, and you'll need a tripod head that can turn 90 degrees. So that may be a solution to that problem that is available at the dollar store, right? So not too bad. You saw it first here. Now you know how to make it happen. Did we have any questions before we wrap up the feature tonight? And of course, next week we are going to be placing all of these cameras on a mounting unit that I built, and it allows us to film from all six cameras simultaneously the same thing so that we can do a direct comparison, not live mode, actually recorded to the micro SD. So that's where we're going to get to see some of these cameras that did not support live mode over HDMI.
That's
and
cool.
Then you can compare. So if live mode doesn't matter to you, make sure you tune in next week. We're going to be looking at the actual recordings on disc.
Will we be talking about retail prices at all?
We will not be covering retail prices because they change, especially at this time of year.
Exactly.
But head on over to cat5.tv/actioncam, and you can click on the links. Do comparison shopping. I encourage you to do that. Please do support us by purchasing it through those links. In particular, take a look at the B&H links. So when you're looking at these action cams, they provided these for us tonight. So I would encourage you to support them in turn, and a portion of those sales also comes to support Category 5 technology TV.
Now, with the live video, did you end up testing the microphone?
No. I would never do live video with a camera's built-in mic.
Okay.
And so that is completely irrelevant because I would never, ever do that in a live mode scenario.
Fair enough.
All right.
Okay.
Fair?
Yep.
And that's why in all that video I had the headset on.
Right, and I know for the studio purposes we
sure
do have that.
Yeah.
But when
you're going to hear it.
When you're out and about experiencing life, that's when you really.
And that's something we're going to hear next week on the show. We're going to put that all together for you, so you're going to be able to hear the microphones. We're going to hear the wind noise outdoors and things like that, and see how each camera as well as each microphone works.